On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler. And joining me today is Michael Jones, CPA from Monterey, California. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Bob.
Mike, recently, probably in the last 3 months, our little study group has come up with an anomaly that I guess we always knew it was there, but we really didn't focus on it enough. And what I'd like to talk to you about today is how Roth IRA recharacterizations work, and specifically how a recharacterization affects the required minimum distribution. So, Mike, refresh us a little bit on exactly how a Roth IRA recharacterization works.
Roth IRA recharacterizations became very popular as the market got lower and people experienced their Roth IRA conversions not succeeding. And as they did, they sought to undo that and get their income taxes back. If requirements that are in the regulation are met, then a recharacterization can occur. And what that is, Bob, it's a direct transfer to a traditional IRA from the Roth IRA for purposes of reversing the Roth conversion. When you do that direct transfer, by the way, you also must accompany that transfer by the income that's attributable to the Roth that you're recharacterizing at the time you're recharacterizing it.
So, Mike, if I converted $1,000 or $100,000 and I didn't like my result, are you saying the law allows me just to erase that conversion?
That is correct.
So now let's say a 2010 Roth IRA conversion was recharacterized in October of 2010, and the client was beyond 70 and a half. What happens to their required minimum distribution? Because let's say I'm a 75-year-old gentleman and I recharacterize, am I going to have a required minimum distribution?
Well, you are. You're going to have a required minimum distribution on the amount that was recharacterized. And just to detail that a little bit and start with an example, let's say that you did a 2010 Roth IRA conversion and you recharacterized it in October of this year. Your 2011 required minimum distribution is based on your December 31st, 2010 value of your traditional IRA. So what we need to highlight here is that when you do a recharacterization, that actually adds to the balance of your December 31st, 2010 traditional IRA, and that drives up your required minimum distribution that you must now take during 2011 in these last days.
And Mike, basically, how does the government determine what number to use?
Well, the government uses the amount of the recharacterization plus any income that's attributable to the recharacterization. Recall that a moment ago I said that when you do a Roth recharacterization, you must also recharacterize the income related to what you're recharacterizing. So that's what gets added to your 12/31/2010 balance when you compute your 2011 required minimum distribution.
So what if there's negative income, Mike? What happens then? What if the account has gone down in value?
Apparently, that is exactly the same treatment because the regulation that discusses how to make the computation for our required minimum distribution purposes doesn't distinguish between negative income and positive income.
So can we potentially create a heads-you-win, tails-you-win scenario? I've always talked about heads-you-win, tails-you-tie when we teach the classes. And we talk about how you convert by asset class. You hope a particular asset class goes up because you'll keep it in the Roth. But are you saying you might even win if the account goes down in value?
Well, I don't think there's any winning if an account goes down in value, but it does take some of the shock out of it if you can reduce your required minimum distributions and leave more in your traditional IRA for the future.
So, Mike, can you give us an example? Let's say a person converted in 2010 $1 million. Just walk us through how that would affect the 2011 and the 2010 required minimum distributions.
Sure, Bob. I'd be happy to do that, and those details will help people see, hopefully, how this actually works. Let's assume that in early January, some people did this on January 4th, a conversion was made of a $1 million IRA to a Roth IRA. And then let's further assume that by December 31st of 2010, the value had dropped all the way down to $800,000. Now, most recharacterizations were done in October of this year, so let's assume that in October, when the recharacterization actually occurred, it wasn't even $800,000 anymore. It had dropped all the way down to $600,000. So you can imagine that the IRA owner would be pretty eager to recharacterize that and erase the income tax on $1 million. And to do that, all you have to do is recharacterize the $600,000. Now, by recharacterizing $600,000, that's treated as a recharacterization of the $1 million of principal and the $400,000 of negative income. So what we've been kicking around in our study group is the following question. We do know that you have to compute required minimum distributions as of 12/31/2010, but what value do you use when you take the Roth recharacterization into account? Are you adding $800,000, which is the 12/31 value? The logic being that we're really trying to get to a result as if no Roth IRA conversion had ever happened. Or do we follow the regulations literally, which tells you, no, you're recharacterizing $600,000, and therefore you're adding only $600,000 to the 12/31/2010 value? The answer in the regulations really tells us that it's $600,000 and not $800,000, and here's the difference. Let's take your 75-year-old example, Bob, and let's take a look at what the applicable divisor is for required minimum distribution purposes. So we go to the uniform table, and we pick up 22.9 years as the applicable divisor, and that means we're going to divide 22.9 into the value of the traditional IRA as of December 31st of 2010. If we've increased the value by $800,000, which was, remember, the year-end value of the Roth, we will increase the required minimum distributions by $34,935. That's quite a chunk. But if we only have to increase the value as of December 31st by the October recharacterization amount of $600,000, then that additional required distribution goes down to $26,200. And that's a difference of some $8,700. So it's important to know that you can use the regulation as it is written.
Mike, that kind of creates a fascinating situation. So basically, for the accounts that go up in value, I might elect to keep those in the Roth because I've clearly profited. And for the ones that have gone down in value, if I recharacterize them, I would get a little bit of an added benefit by reducing my required minimum distribution. I mean, I think that's what I'm hearing here.
Well, essentially what you're doing is you're making lemonade out of lemons. If you have several Roth IRAs, as you're suggesting, you don't have to reconvert each one of them. So you can reconvert the loser. When you do, you're going to bump up your required minimum distributions, but you're going to get basically credit for the loss that you've suffered.
Mike, this seems too good to be true. Where can we find the authority for this, and how do we know it's right?
Sure. The income tax regulation is section 1.408-8, which has to do with required minimum distributions and IRAs. And that's in question and answer form is, so it's question and answer 8, and it's in answer 8B, as in boy. That's in little parentheses. It literally says that you have to add to the balance at 12/31 of the previous year the recharacterization amount plus the net income that's attributable to it. There are no qualifiers that tell us that we somehow prorate that by day or by month or through 12/31. It simply says the amount attributable to it, which we would have to read as being all of the income. And, of course, we have to understand that that cuts both ways. If you did happen to recharacterize a Roth IRA that went up in value, you will not be able to limit the required distribution base to just the income through 12/31.
Well, Mike, this has been a really great discussion. Thank you for that. What about clients that have computed their required minimum distributions based on the 12/31/10 value of the Roth IRA? If they distributed more than was required, is there anything we can do to fix this?
Well, I think that you would be able to roll over the difference if you were within 60 days of when you took out your required minimum distribution, because you may roll over a distribution from an IRA as long as it is not a required minimum distribution. So in my example, if in fact this taxpayer had distributed or over-distributed, if you will, some $8,700, the taxpayer might have an opportunity to roll that back into an IRA. Now, one very important thing that you have to understand when you do that is there's this rule that says that you're not allowed to roll over more than once per year from any given IRA. There's a rule in the regulations, I'll give you the site in a minute, that says that a recharacterization is never going to count for the one rollover per year rule, and that regulation is 1.408A-5, and that's question and answer 8. 8 seems to be a popular number today, but it's also Q&A 8, just like the other regulation is. It's crystal clear.
On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler with Mike Jones discussing Roth conversions and required minimum distributions. Thank you for joining us today.